Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
Why, hello there. You're listening to Lost and Rewound on Radio Free Brooklyn. And I'm Timmy Daniels. When you think about that, it's time to get embarrassed with us.
Yo, yo.
What's going on today with you, Elon?
Oh, you know, just a show. We're here. It's Thursday afternoon.
It's true. I gotta say, Thursday afternoons in the fall, for some reason, like, I guess it's because it's in the latter half of the week, of like the work week. I think if Thursday's in fall is like very comforting.
I like when it's actually snowing and being like somewhat winter-like in the fall, personally, because it makes me feel that we're actually in the right time of year.
I just get excited because it feels comforting, it feels homey, and it feels like I'm building up to seeing a lot of people who I really fucking love, you know? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to you, Will Hasty. My name's Alon Danziger, for those who are just keeping score. This is Lost and Rewound on Radio Free Brooklyn. Lost and Rewound is the weekly audio archaeology from the yesteryears.
Finding it, digging deep, looking for the good stuff.
Looking for really all of the good stuff. And over the years, we've discovered that our submissions have not necessarily been that of the old, but rather that of the embarrassing. So we kind of go kind of back and forth between either old or embarrassing, but it all relatively the same in that we're digging back and learning about who we used to be, connecting the dots effectively from then until now.
Time to get embarrassed. In time.
In time. Always. If you are listening to us actually on your phone, thank you for downloading the Radio Free Brooklyn app for your Android or iPhone. Effectively, you can download those if you haven't already at radiofreebrooklyn.org/Android or effectively radiofreebrooklyn.org/iPhone for your Android or iOS devices.
Gotta say, guys, I listen to all of my three favorite Radio Free Brooklyn shows on the iOS app. And I gotta say, it does make it a lot fucking easier than the vast majority of podcast apps out there.
Radio Free Brooklyn is a 501c3 nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a free and open platform to our community and promote media literacy, education, and free expression. We rely primarily on donations from listeners like you. To help support our mission, we do invite you to make that one-time donation or monthly pledge to radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate, and every cent will help us continue to stay on the air. Please support independent community media by pledging whatever you can afford. And remember that all of your contributions are tax deductible to the fullest extent of the law.
And just so you guys know, Radio Free Brooklyn provides a platform to a lot of voices that wouldn't otherwise get heard. It's a really great cause, guys. I mean, I wouldn't have gotten into this medium without this platform. I don't know. I mean, Elon was doing this since he was a kid, so I pretty sure he would have been in this regardless.
Stop it.
It's a beautiful thing, guys. And if you have the ability to donate, please do, especially with the holidays coming up. It's end of year, guys.
If you aren't inspired enough by the pitch, in order for us to make our goal of creating an after-school program, we will be launching this anyway in 2019 for an after-school program for local teenagers so that they can learn about media literacy through media making using a hands-on approach guided by local professionals. So if you're not already satisfied enough with the idea to contribute any money at all to Radio Free Brooklyn just to keep us alive and kicking with financial ease, by all means, you should definitely put it towards your interest in participating in this program. Please go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/afterschool to learn more. Finally, if you want to sign up for our newsletter, there was just an event this past week, and you should know that there's always Radio Free Brooklyn events happening. Where do they go to sign up for that newsletter?
radiofreebrooklyn.org/newsletter. We are dedicated to a spam-free universe.
We are dedicated to a spam-free universe. It'll only come to your inbox once a month if you signed up for it. So now that we're done with all those awkward pitches.
Today we do have my best friends. Honestly,
we have one of your friends. It's you up to the plate with enlisting a guest for this week, and we'll get to him very shortly. We'll be right back.
So, guys, today I'd like to introduce a very close friend of mine. This is the, well, very hairy and very lovable and hilarious comedian, Timmy Daniels.
Thank you so much. I was just going to let my hair out.
seriously, like he basically just took all of his messy hair and just threw it in front of his face.
He's doing a cousin it. Full on. You beat me to it. Full
this
blows.
This is exactly why I like to have long hair.
Well, welcome
like to
Timmy.
Send people into a state of shock. Thank you. That was a wonderful introduction.
Seriously, turn your head so Elon can see what that hat says.
What is it?
Oh, it's a Joanna hat.
It's a Joanna hat?
A Mary Joanna.
Oh, and a Mary Joanna to you.
And a Mary Joanna to you as well.
A Mary Joanna.
Wait, we also have Catherine Dunn. We can't forget about Catherine. She showed up.
Did you just sneak in behind me? What the fuck? How did you do that?
Yeah. I'm always following you.
Well, truth be told, that's normally how it rolls on your Saturday show, Dunn's
Son. That's true.
The 3 p.m. show is the storytelling show, and then... As I heard just previous weekend, you and Juno talking to each other on Art Star Scene Radio, along with Ace Boy, very much Art Star Scene on brand. Just a lot of tomfoolery calling in some random number. I don't know who it was. Like it was a Verizon or something. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Where do you get the numbers from?
I'm not sure who we were calling that day, but yeah. It's always prank activism.
Prank activism.
Yeah.
Pranktivism.
Yeah, pranktivism. It's we're attacking the bad guys. So, for example, if a restaurant has drivers who ride on the sidewalks, we're going to prank them.
Timmy, did you ever do any of the prank calling back in the day?
Yeah, I used to do a lot of that.
We had a guest a while back who recorded a few of his most well-known from like high school / college prank calls.
God, I wish I had done that. No.
You never did that?
I just did it for my own entertainment. I literally would call people up entertainment.
Not during your radio days you didn't do prank calling?
We didn't do a lot of crank call, and then we would record things. Most of it was kind of like sketch plus improv. So we had kind of a...
I don't know.
We had people that we would call consistently, but there was no just through the phone book, call somebody randomly. I didn't do any of that.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Flint and Tampa. I was born in Flint, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
We moved to Tampa, Florida, and then we moved back to Flint. So if I act weird, it's because of the delicious
all of that.
Lead water.
It's because of all of that.
It's because of all of that.
Like Flint, Florida, Flint. It's not like it's better.
I didn't just name
Tampa
two wonderful
drugs.
Places to grow up. Let it soak in.
Lead water.
Flint,
when
lead water.
When did you move to Tampa,
in
though?
In Tampa. When I was younger, like 5, and then we moved back, and then we moved back again.
Okay.
I have family in both states.
Okay.
So. Follow-up question. When are you moving to West Virginia? So you have the full package.
Very soon, because I want this whole thing to be complete.
Wait, what?
First off, West Virginia is beautiful.
No.
Stop it. It is a complicated part of the
trash.
It is not just a trash part of the country.
I love New York.
Hey, McElroy brothers live in West Virginia.
Trash.
I've never been to West Virginia, but I'm captivated by it because of its majesty, but not for its, never mind.
Down in the hollers.
Residence?
Not going there. You didn't hear it from my mouth. No, I think...
Opioids. Got it because of the opioids.
Let's bring this full breath here. I must admit, I've never really been to Michigan. I've never really been to Florida. Mm. I've been to Detroit within the last
year. That explains why you seem so healthy.
Oh, that's a compliment. Thank you so much.
Your skin is glowing.
I'm always glowing at this time of year. Winter suits me.
Florida's that state that's always in the news.
Sure.
As soon as you hear Florida, you're like, oh, yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. I learned recently.
They can't figure out how to vote.
I figured out why that happened, actually, though. Because
the face eating or the car crash?
There's a lot of states.
Because it's America's Australia.
There's a lot of states that do this, but Florida just happens to be where a lot of it happens. But a number of states have a law that the police records can be released immediately after it happens to the press.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of those crazy stories happen just because Florida does allow their police records to be released to newspapers. So newspapers are always reporting on this crazy shit.
So what you're saying is there's a man in the Bronx right now hog tying a gator and riding around on a lawnmower.
But because it's a different kind of system here and they won't release it, we won't know until like maybe a few years from now.
But holy shit, that means that the cops, that means the cops who are literally writing those police reports know that the more ridiculous it is, the more ridiculously it's worded, the more likely it is to get on the news.
Where do you get a load of this guy?
Synthetic marijuana led to him cutting off his penis.
Synthetic marijuana led to him eating most of his face and another guy's.
And penis.
Wait, so you moved from Flint to Tampa when you were five, and then you moved back to Flint when?
Moved back to Flint in time for middle school.
Middle school.
And then I was there for a few years. Moved back to Tampa. Moved back to Flint. Hmm. And then around the time I was like 20, my brother was killed in a car accident in Flint, Michigan. And it was black ice. I kind of got a downside. I stopped liking anything to do with Flint, the cold weather, all of that. Went back to Tampa, never looked back. I didn't want to have anything more to do with Michigan after that.
Would you say that the formative years then were spent in Florida?
Yeah.
And what kind of scene were you involved in when you were in middle school? You started middle school while you were living in Florida. That's a transitionary time for all of us, I guess, but
yeah,
was it
you know,
for you too as well?
It's kind of weird. When you move like that, you get
to be the new kid.
Yeah, you're always the new kid. You're always the freak.
You can be whoever you want to be to a certain
extent. Became my norm. You could also be, it's like when you moved to New York, you can make up your background or whatever the hell you want. But I wasn't that
wise. So you're
wise.
Definitely from?
Yeah, right. I'm actually from Montana. look at me. I'm not a sports star.
Ladies and gentlemen, Timmy has a beautiful athletic body. I don't know what he's talking about.
Glorious hair. Yeah, so sense of humor was my kind of tool, my gift that I honed and worked on.
What inspired you on the humor tip when you were that age?
I think it was watching my parents. They would watch SNL and they'd laugh their ass off. And I was like, that's something I could do. And I always noticed if you were funny, it didn't matter if you were new. It didn't matter if you were weird. It was a way to be who you are, which I didn't seem to have a lot of control over, and still... you know, enjoy life in some capacity without getting picked on. And it worked. So that became more important than grades, more important. All I cared about was cracking people.
Was the force field of laughter.
Yeah.
I've never that was thought my defense that. That's mechanism. Amazing. The comedy is the great equalizer. Yeah, that really is true, isn't it?
We have delved deep into my psyche. That's as deep as it gets. There's nothing below that layer.
I think we can go deeper.
Come on, Timmy, you're much deep. You have depths, my friend.
Thank you for saying so. But we will find out sadly. No, but that was my thing. And then that's all I really wanted to do. I tried to work. That didn't work out too well.
In what capacity?
So many different jobs.
What was your first job?
My first job was, what was my first job? Delivering papers.
Delivering papers.
How old were you?
I was...
It was on a bike.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We did have a bike.
You were the real life paper boy.
Oh, what? My $2.
A glorious life. I would make like $5 a week or something like that. It was so little money. And, wow. So much work. Yeah.
And sorry, how old were you again?
Let's see. It was before I was driving. So I guess I was 15.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, awful job.
Yeah, then, all of our first jobs are awful.
Always awful.
Mine wasn't.
I started working at a restaurant.
Excuse me.
And to this day, I don't like drinking. I call it pop. Does anybody call it pop?
No. Some people.
I only hear that in the Midwest or honestly parts of Canada, to be totally honest. Yeah.
Canada.
I don't like
Canada.
One of my jobs
was get in there and change the dispenser and all this grease would come out.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, people are drinking this. Like, yep. And then you look out into the horizon of the people who are drinking this. Like,
is there some similarity between them? Yeah,
walruses just like, oh god, this grease is all over you. And I was like, yeah, I really, and a lot of people don't know this, but that grease from the pop, it'll eat through cups, it'll just keep Well, whatever's
in
it.
You can shine a penny with Coke.
Well, no,
you can
shine a penny with it. Yeah. It is whatever. One of the main ingredients is Coke is something acid, and it is slightly acidic. That's the Coke in, you know, the half an egg or a tooth in a pan of Coke. It'll be gone.
It'll actually eat its way out of the cup that they hand it to you. If you get a McDonald's cup filled with pop and you set it down and you just let that little puppy sit there for about a day and a half, it will eat a hole in the bottom and just start running.
That's not just like it would happen with water because of the paper of the cup.
No, I would like to see an experiment.
That's an experiment.
Of someone taking water and pop ice. I would.
No, I'm pop's definitely going to burn through faster.
Assumed it was because it was wet.
None of you guys in middle school had to do the like take an egg, open it, save the two shells, put it in a pan of Coke and see how quickly it dissolves. It was an experiment to show how quickly it burns through calcium. So like how acidic it is for your teeth and how acidic it is for people.
Here's the experiment I would like to see because I've done this. I've peed in a cup. Set it up. And I would like to see urine versus pop versus water.
Definitely
and
pop.
I guarantee you the pop will eat through that cup first.
Absolutely.
No question.
When I first moved to New York,
can we do it at your house?
I was staying in an office.
Sure, we can do it at my house.
And because the bathroom was just so damn far away, I would pee in bottles after I would urinate in a bottle. And I would use the bottles like the Arizona iced tea with the big bottles so it's nice and easy.
Screw
top.
Okay, just
Sure. So it wouldn't leak over.
And, he's a gentleman.
You know, it's convenient. Rather than walk all the way down to the bathroom so far away. So I pee in these cups and one time I was drinking some sauce, whiskey. I hadn't Delicious put the sauce. Bottle down below and I literally just as it got in, I went, oh God, please tell me that was the right, and it wasn't.
Did you swallow?
No, I didn't. I realized just before I swallowed, I went, my God,
please tell me. Did you spit it out?
I spit it, yeah.
You
spit
pee all over the room?
No, I spit it back in the cup.
Please tell me you tasted it. Please tell me you were high or drunk a little bit so that when you tasted it, you had a little bit of a delay before you actually tasted it.
It took me a second. The second I put it in, I went, oh my Lord. Now, I do a pre-chase. I pre-chase her, then I drink the whiskey, then I finish. So thank God it was a pre-chase.
Because if it was an actual chase,
I would have been doomed.
Okay.
So don't do that.
Timmy, when we reached out to you about being on the show, and the premise of the show was that of, you know, getting embarrassing audio or audio from years of old. And the
I find that challenging for my...
Now, well, why is that challenging?
Well, because
of all the moving around.
Yeah. Also, yeah, that makes it hard to keep track of things. And also, when I moved to New York, I just drove here in my car and I said, yeah, that'll do it. And I literally was staying in my car. So a lot of things that I had have been lost and moving. That's one factor. Another factor is I don't know that I can't think of too many things that I mean. I pretty much do things that would embarrass a normal person on a consistent basis, constantly. So, if I allowed myself to actually think for a second, I would be like, my God.
Yeah.
This is why I love Timmy so much.
What have I done? I would just be haunted.
I had the same answer when I was out for the show that I had to audition for. I was like, I don't fucking embarrass. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I'm sure there's things.
Is it?
Probably everything I do is embarrassing.
Yeah.
Is it weird that I feel the same way and that we're all do comedy?
I think it's a coping mechanism to try not to think.
I'm the only person in this room who would not easily call myself a comedian. It's a bitter pill to swallow to say that I'm a comedian, but I'm not. I'm a comic actor, if anything. And I must admit that when I go out in the world and I do embarrassing things all the time, I feel like I am constantly being watched by somebody, so there's some kind of Mr. Bean element to whatever I'm doing in all of its intricacies. I feel like I'm doing something so silly to somebody's perception.
Yeah, there's
every
name
single
for
time.
That. They call that the spotlight
schizophrenia.
Effect.
Or I would
and schizophrenia.
There's a name for that.
Just society. Weirdness. No, but I mean they there's an actual name for that. They call that the spotlight effect.
What is
so
that?
So we tend to think there's a spotlight on us. Like everything we do, we're like, oh my God, I just drink some urine. Everybody sees me. Oh no, thank God you're all alone. Mm-hmm. Oh good. We all do that. We have a spotlight effect. I mean, and most people, it turns out, kind of don't notice. Like, we don't notice. Okay, we're in New York.
We live in New York. Yeah.
Think of the things we don't notice.
Supposedly, this was always my impression when I moved to New York after, you know, being raised by city people in the country, no less.
Yeah. But city people. City folk.
City folk who knew enough about the city growing up there themselves in Brooklyn and Queens, and they were like, just, you know, nobody cares. No, just don't talk to anybody. and then you don't talk to anybody, nobody talks to you, and everybody just kind of cycles through.
But still, the most identifying aspect of somebody who is not from New York is somebody who will be on the subway and come up and talk to you.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I made that mistake.
Yeah. Yeah,
I promise you, I get harassed equally. What were you saying?
Trying to talk to people on the subway, like, it just felt weird to me that you're in this thing and you're all together. Of course, that's not always the case. Somebody's singing, somebody's clipping their toenails, and somebody's eating a bowl of oatmeal. So I've gotten used
Somebody's also puking on themselves, depending on the time of day.
And it looks like oatmeal.
Okay, and it does.
So, was that really oatmeal?
So being a funny kid and, you know, being someone who's susceptible to performing things out in the open,
right.
there must have been some connections from your past whom recorded you doing stuff that you never held on to, but you know that they have it because you surrounded yourself with people who probably had with friends whom had access to that technology.
You know what's interesting? I was drawn to weird people. The weirder, the better.
Right? High five.
I love that. And I noticed the collective people that I had, of everyone that I hung around, I was surprised to find out that I was usually the one wanting to record things. I was the one saying, we should all do a show. And they had this weirdness that I wanted to capture, but they didn't have any interest in capturing it. I mean, we're talking, we would just go out, drink whiskey and go wakeboarding, and we would climb trees, drink. We would, when I was in Michigan, we would tie a rope to the back of a car and grab a snowboard and just jump people's trash and all this stuff that would look really good on film. And I was always the one thinking, we gotta capture this. Yeah, like the thing that inspired me the most was before Jackass, there were these, when I was
before Jackass was like, what, 99?
I guess.
We're talking 99, so we're talking pre-99, so mid-90s here.
Pre-99, I was young and I can't remember who had left it there, but someone had left a skateboarding video at my place.
Like a VHS?
Yeah, like an old VHS.
And what kind of music was on there?
Oh, no great effects. Music. Like just like the Dead Milkmen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like
I honestly have no idea who that is.
My mind exploded.
It was mostly punk rock.
Like somebody who had just dropped some acid, which I've done. It was a great experience. I was like,
were you listening to a lot of music before this occasion?
No, I wasn't. I don't think I was. I don't have natural coolness. Like every cool thing that I've ever done, I've stolen from someone.
That is a huge jump.
I'm stealing cool things from you now.
Is
that
your scarf
I'm just a collective
thing
of other people.
Did you totally fake
steal the scarf thing from?
Keith Richards, probably.
Yeah.
I would look at Keith Richards and go, that is so cool. I'm just a thief. I stole like the idea of these rings. I think it was a Johnny Depp thing. Hunter S. Thompson had a lot of effects on me.
When you started wearing all those rings, your first line was literally like, well, Johnny Depp does it.
Yeah. It's got to be cool. Yeah, like I stole coolness. If you watch me, you'll see me steal someone else's cool thing. I've just collected it all.
Excuse me.
Because I enjoy it.
Great creatives borrow.
No. I'm sorry. Good creatives borrow. Great creatives steal. That was the line. Way to fuck it up, Will.
I don't think that's a good line.
That's fascinating to me, though, that after all these years and how you've become so synonymous with this idea of collecting other things, that it hasn't come to pass that you've necessarily been able to hold on to a lot of what that might have been if you had kept it on recordings.
I wish I did. I really wish I did.
I'm not trying to, like, guilt you about this.
Yeah. I
feel like that's what I'm getting to here.
Now I can't
tell you what you're doing wrong with your life.
Here's the thing. If I go back to Tampa, I have a storage shed with a bunch of recordings.
Oh, boy.
And the things that are on there, oh, my God. Like, okay. I would literally have to go, let me take a look first.
I have to feel this because it's been a while since I've watched this show, Storage Wars. If, whatever the reason, in a hypothetical situation, that your storage shed was
will you go
ever
to jail?
That's a definitive yes.
If one of those crazy pants who are on the show go into your storage locker and they see all these tapes and they want to get it appraised. Oh, how much do you think it'd be worth?
Oh my God.
How much do you think they can get it for?
Everything I have.
Question. That is such a good question.
I can't even answer the bottom of that pit. Like, you have to know. So
I don't think it would cover your bail money.
Ballpark it. Just try.
Here's the thing. I was somewhat of an idiot savant, just digging his way deeper every single day while sober.
While sober.
Then I discovered, if I drink a little whiskey and I take a pill here and
there,
the pain of the world goes away.
And when did that happen?
15. Let's see.
What age were you?
I was drinking and smoking weed and doing anything I could. I liked acid, but I liked a half a hit. That was my sweet spot. I always found a sweet spot. And I liked doing that before my brother died in a car accident. I found afterwards, this takes away the pain of all kinds. Mm. So I started adding pills to the mix. So the further I traveled down that road, oh my God, the things that I ended up doing, I couldn't tell you. Because if you already don't have that checks and balances of this is an embarrassing thing, maybe you shouldn't do that. If that's not there pre-drinking, you can only imagine riding on top of cars. I don't even know what I want to even.
But sounds
say
like there's a
recording about Tim, what I've done.
Tim, you have some amazing stories.
It sounds
from that
priceless,
era,
though. And there are to some, answer my question,
yeah.
The answer to your question is, it's quite priceless. There are some degenerative things on there that one might find a bit appalling.
Asking price is roughly 150 to 160 million. We will start at 165.
It could send people into a state of shock.
Oh, dear.
What have we found? Hopefully no one. But I mean, come on.
Can you remember?
Open a storage shed and you see a bunch of tapes, you've got to look at them.
You got to pass on some of these stories. Seriously.
Yeah.
People need a VCR for that.
So what are we recording?
It's just a Walkman or whatever.
Super 8. A lot of them are on the Super 8.
You were shooting this shit with a Super 8 cam?
Yeah. Like, they're so cheap.
No shit, Daniel. Seriously?
Yeah. Why? Do you have
Holy shit. Dude, that's
Do you have
insane.
A way to take it off there or whatever?
But, no, no. But
well, there is.
There absolutely is a way. I think I do. That's just unique.
I know of a spot over in Greenpoint where I get all of my stuff digitized.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I think you could just
see,
bring it to my house. I think I have the adapter.
Bring it to the EBM office or you can go to Kat's house. Like, it's seriously, it's like, that's, if you have that, if they actually have the Super 8 reels.
I'm kind of excited. Like,
we all are.
I'm looking forward and I'm so focused on, ooh, get out of the way. Ooh, oh, what did I just do? Okay, I'm going to think about that anymore. Keep moving forward. I do a lot of that.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of looking in the rearview mirror. But right now, at this point, I'm actually thinking about it. I think it would be a fun thing to look at. I know that I was very interested in, I know when I first did stand-up comedy, it was at a place called Jack's Joint in Clearwater, Florida. Hmm. And it's on I-60, which takes you all the way down to the beach.
Yeah. How old were you when that happened?
Let's see. I went in there. I've been doing stand-up comedy for 8 years. So I was like 22, 23.
That's not bad. Hey,
when I went in there, it was
scary and bold as fuck.
So amazing. I felt like I was this purple elephant that had been wandering around. And then one day I opened the door. I'm like, holy fuck. A whole room full of purple elephants. My God.
That's amazing.
I was so excited.
That's amazing.
I was excited at the way people thought. Like, I didn't look at them telling their jokes as jokes per se. I was like, that's what I always believed. Like, it was like hearing philosophers. You know, to me, it was much like people like talking about this weird opinion or way of looking at the world that they had. And I shared that so much that I was like, oh my God, this thing, I really like this. And I fell in love with the craft. I didn't know if I could do it or not, but I would go to Jack's Joint. I think it was Tuesdays. They would have an open mic. Hmm. And the place was just a pit out of hell. I mean, the guy who ran it was a partier. Let's be careful what I say on here. We had a little relationship.
No, you can say whatever the hell you want, man. Just be kind.
We, great guy. Love them. Great partier. We would trade things back and forth. We're awesome,
delicious
dude.
Delicious things. Wonderful
and,
things.
And I thought that was like
I thought that was it. I was like, I'm living the dream. I'm here at Jack's Joint, and one day I'll be on the main stage. Oh, my God. I found my calling.
Hmm.
And, of course, a year later, I'm like, open mic night, Jack's Joint. I get to perform once a week. I'm living the dream. We also, in Ybor City, we have the improv. I think it was Wednesday nights they would have an open mic night.
So where is Ybor City?
Ybor City is like a mile stretch of party.
In Tampa?
It's
Tampa?
Ybor City's in Tampa. It's a little stretch of mile long stretch of bars. Originally, it was where they made cigars. And a guy from Cuba had come up and shared his hand rolling secrets, and it became like world renowned or whatever.
Cigar Mecca.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of things that I historically, I should know these historical facts, but I just don't. But turn into like a big stretch of bars, and we would take Beans and just rock out. Beans was ecstasy. We called them Beans back then. In fact, there was a point where you weren't even allowed to say Beans out loud. They would, like, the cops would come up to you.
The cops would immediately know.
Yeah, they would go, you're not supposed to say that around here. All right, I'll go up against the wall and check to see if you had any ecstasy.
What about Jack and the Ogre?
I was always terrified of the fuzz. So I tried not to say Beans.
I have no idea why.
No Beans about it.
No Beans about it.
No Beans about it. I mean,
I thought it was the perfect drug, right? Because it's this, you're drinking, so you're a little sideways, and weed always kind of made me a little paranoid. Not my favorite instrument of enjoyment.
Indigos,
but, you know, you take a couple beans and you're drinking, you just feel like at one with the world, and everybody, you don't take a bean and go fighting, right? But you might do a bunch of shots of liquor and tune each other up a little bit. Beans, like, everybody would be like, Will, man, you're the greatest person in the world, man. Like, that idea of that your sense of community is extremely heightened, and people are very friendly. I really enjoyed that.
You know, they said at the beginning, at the advent of ecstasy, that one pill was worth 7 years of therapy.
Really?
Yeah. Before they had any concept of the Swiss cheese.
I would say it'd be a specific kind of therapy, like if you had violent tendencies. Yeah, but I can see that.
I mean, did you ever get those mornings where you just woke up extraordinary? Like, that was my
experience. Suicide Sunday?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
I just called it Sunday. So that's...
Wait, so how close? I'm sorry, dude.
I used to have a line ready to go when I woke up, so that I never had to feel anything. I used to do a mix. I would have a mixer.
Do you have you? I mean, you those skills are strong.
Clean and sober,
but my question is, this era of your life, how close was it actually to your brother's death? Because it sounds like that period.
Yeah, that was my method of. So here's why stand up comedy and Jack's Joint played a big role in everything, especially sobriety. When I was I was really not solving the problem. I was just putting off the problem because it all comes back. And so I noticed when I was sober and I talked on stage and people were like laughing, the thing behind the first layer would be acceptance and understanding. Like, yes, I got them to laugh. But also, if you walk in front of a crowd and you say, oh, my God, this happened and this happened and this happened, wasn't that terrible? And they're all like, they're laughing. It's like they're agreeing with you. They're like, yes, it is horrible. Life can be tough, you know? And I remember seeing a lot of people say this. They have their favorite comics and they just rattle them off like robots. I like Richard Pryor and I like George Carlin. And they don't say why. The reason why I liked Richard Pryor is because the dude set himself on fire. He tried to kill himself by setting himself on fire. And then he pulled out a gun during a divorce and shot his own car. Now, most people would just swim at the end, other end of a bottle. He took it to the stage, and I just remember thinking the reality of that, of actually going to the stage and talking about these painful things.
Authentic heightenedness and allowing yourself to be as vulnerable as possible.
The vulnerability, yes. I still work on that constantly, like trying to ask myself, am I being authentically vulnerable? Am I really pushing it as far as I can? That was my therapy, and it still is.
We want to explore that more and learn more about that vulnerability after this break. When we come back, Timmy Daniels is going to share some Periscope videos with us, and we'll explain what that even means, because that's a whole other language for me. This is Lost and Rewound.
Show and tell.
Radio Free Brooklyn.
Stick around. Right?
Meow.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Welcome to Lost and Rewound.
We are glad to be on your streaming audio right now, wherever you may be. And if you want to listen to any of the past episodes of this ridiculous hour of talk, then you can go to a few different places. First off, there's iTunes. Second of all, there's Spotify. There is a SoundCloud page that's been kicking around even before the Radio Free Brooklyn iteration began, but I would recommend going to our Podomatic page first and foremost. That's lostandrewound.podomatic.com, and you could download all of our previous episodes from over the last 2 years. We have Timmy Daniels here in the studio, an episode, once this is archived, will be one that people will be like, what the fuck is this shit?
What just happened?
We've been enjoying our time with you thus far. Let's get into the clips that you have, let's do some preamble for it, because I won't lie, there is a standard that we set on this show that at least one of us should not have heard or seen.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think anybody's seen this.
I have not seen any of these clips.
And neither have you, Catherine. No. So, lo and behold, now I have the files here. How old are these videos?
Okay, so let's see. Someone had told me when I was doing stand-up comedy.
Periscope is pretty new.
It's pretty new. This was like a couple of years ago.
Okay.
It first came out.
6 or 7 years ago.
No, it was a couple of years ago. A friend of mine, another stand-up comic, was like, you should be recording some of this stuff. Like, I was like, what's
recording was? Yeah, exactly.
And he was like, how you're living in New York. That's fascinating.
How are you living in New York?
Well, a high level of life hacks.
Life
hacks. Figuring out how to survive in the city and continue to do comedy and continue to perform is a bit of a challenge.
The dumpster diving, though, is a good life hack, too, I think.
No, it's not what he does.
Oh, this is a whole different level.
His is way better than that.
I'll tell you a past thing that I had done.
Okay.
So I'll tell you what I was doing.
You will share a life hacking secret of the past.
There you go.
I was living in my car, and I would go to the library and crack out some jokes, and then at night, I would perform, and then I would go back to my car. Now, in the morning, I noticed if I would put on, like, a nice suit, I could walk into the hotel and get a free breakfast. Like, nobody would even, they'd think I came from, like, one of the floors. So I'd go there, get myself a breakfast. I would get on an app. I would download an app, say it was my birthday tomorrow. I would keep lining it up so it was always my birthday. I'd go in, beep, get a free birthday meal or treat. Like, if you go to Steak and Shake, you can get a free meal on your birthday. And nobody cares. They just scan your little code. Right. So I would do that and just keep stacking these things on top of each other. I would also get a hotel using this thing called the best rate guarantee. They used to give away a free hotel room if you could find a cheaper room. They would give you your first night for free. So I would make sure ahead of time that it was cheaper. And then I would book the room on purpose and I would only book one night. So if the first night is free and you're only staying one night, it's a free stay. You would think they wouldn't do it, but they absolutely did. And I was recording some of this stuff myself occasionally and telling my friends about it. And they're like, dude, you really should start recording that. And so I started putting it on Periscope. I just started putting life hacks and travel hacks right there on Periscope. And so I would travel places with no money. And I would put that on Periscope as well.
Quite insane. Periscope was actually invented in 2015.
Okay.
How many of these hacks have you burned by showing them to people?
Some.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's hard to tell directly what happens, but I notice the bigger the venue I talk about it, the higher the risk, of course. If I'm just sitting here and it's the four of us, oh my God, what I could tell you. But as that goes up, you have to be more and more, cautious. So it's better to, cause some of the ones I'm telling you now no longer work. So, you're always adapting. You're always changing. You're always trying to figure out a new thing to come up with. Anyway, so, my friend was fascinated by this lifestyle. I had found out that you could get these coupon codes and you could stay in these offices, right? You could go check out an office. I would cash these in and I would stay there back then. And, I noticed, I could get like an office for free. So I would cash these coupons in for an office. I noticed I could crash there. So I turned it into a bedroom. I basically turned it into a micro apartment. Now, this is long gone, and crazy, you can't do this anymore in the capacity that I was doing it. But, yeah, like, I basically, I had accidentally slept in the office. So I noticed if I just set my alarm so I wake up before 6 o'clock in the morning and get out of there, and you would be surprised how little people really do notice you. Talk about the spotlight effect. Nobody noticed. And the second someone said he's a stand-up comedian, so if they saw something weird, like I got house slippers on or something, that didn't happen. But you know what I mean? They would go, well.
They found your toothbrush in the bathroom.
Oh, he's in there brushing his teeth in a bathroom.
Why do you have so much food and posters and stuff you put in an apartment in your office?
It's almost like they're talking about a special child. They're like, well, I don't know if you know, but he's a comedian. Oh, we didn't know. Okay.
I will say that even that Timmy does have a current office, and at his current office, there is still like he doesn't, of course he doesn't sleep there, but like there is still that kind of reverie from the people around him.
Yeah, that's a great stroke of luck that I'm in a craft where people kind of are a bit forgiving their weirdness.
Yeah.
Authentically, just being myself.
They're a purple elephant.
Well, there's purple elephants, you have to understand. True. Yes. I have on Periscope one of the days when I was staying there, and you'll see in the video, I found out is I could get like a one burner. What are they called? Like a hot plate?
A hot plate.
Yeah, and then I found out I could get free Blue Apron. You know, you just sign up and then you can cancel it. So I would get the first box for free. Just change the office number a little bit.
Okay, let's take a listen.
Living the dream. I thought I was done with Google Express. Too bad someone done dirty dishes. That would be nice. I really thought I could quit Google Express. But when they're gonna just keep giving you coupons for free stuff? You just can't quit it, can you? Let it scab you nice. Scabby chicken. You ever had scabby chicken? My favorite dish. Google Express. What do we have today? What do we have for you? Oh. That's good. Hey, how you doing? That's nice. Some bread. How do you do? Yep, I can survive off that. Sweet. This is how you do New York. Some people, they don't know. They have 18 roommates. Meanwhile, why don't you just move into your cubicle? No harm, no foul. You just gotta use your imagination a little. Not sustainable forever, but I'm a stand-up comedian. I'm going somewhere. I got plans. I'm a stand-up comedian. Or I'm trying to be. I'm only 5 years in, so this is what 5 years in looks like. What are you gonna do? That's the price you gotta pay. You don't get a fluffy bed cooking up some chicken. Blue Apron. Gotta love Blue Apron. They just send you food.
You get your first week for free. That's six meals. Unless you do it more than once, then it's 60 meals, but whatever. Do you have your bed set up? I will in a little bit. I'll just go over here. Problem solved. Any more brain bugglers? I hope you're hired by the theater. I hope so. By my theater. I want to work at Neo Futurist. That's what I'm working on. How many offices did you take over? Three. I'm going to try to audition for the Neo Futurist at the end of this month. It's another theater. If I can do that, keep doing stand-up comedy, and I got this play, it's going to be one heck of a semester. Until then, we got to be a little inventive. Camping equipment. Yeah, life is just one big camping event. Camping event. Camping outing. You get the idea. What are you, renting offices to live in? Yeah. It's cheaper than some of the other options. And I ain't quitting stand-up comedy. So I'm here to stay, see? This chicken smells good.
That was like the most exciting cooking video I've ever watched.
It was like a cooking.
Isn't that amazing?
It was like a production, like a professional production, but with like paper plates. I fucking love it, and I want you to do a cooking show with like paper plates, because it's like they've right. got you've got the little ramekins, but they're just tiny paper plates.
No, that's amazing. And then on top of that, to go through the office in this sort of like almost like West Wing esque sort of like as I'm moving through
Bird
the hallway,
man.
And I've
Welcome
got this other
to
important
my humble
thing.
Home. Very comfortable, by the way.
And it's like a slice
a
of
box
life.
Of like literally a month's supply of ramen and bread and
yeah, it was
so
awesome.
It was like an unboxing. It's a Cribs video. It's like all these things in one.
Yeah.
There's so many little survival techniques in
to me, reality.
So the way Periscope works is that you're putting up this video much like a chat roulette while you're doing the thing on the video. They're responding to you and they're asking you questions in real time.
And you're answering them.
Yeah.
So
you had, so they're showing you with finding boxes of bread and cup of noodles and man, I mean that's like a college college dream right
so,
there.
There's this company called Google Express and they had this coupon that said $15 for free.
I'm sorry, what was the name of that company?
G-O-O.
Anyway, back then, they did
How
this
do I
promo.
Find them?
You get on Yahoo. They had this promo where you would get $15 for free, but if you spent $15, you would get free shipping. So I was like, oh, well, I'll just order a bunch of ramen noodles and a bunch of oatmeal because I can make them because... the office had a hot water dispenser.
Yeah.
So it was a very convenient meal for me. So when I woke up at 6 a.m., I would make myself a hot meal. And what you're seeing there is that I ordered a Blue Apron trial and got a big giant box of food. But then you got to cook it in the office. So I figured out if I buy like a little hot plate. And I just got that and I borrowed a pan from a friend and I cooked up the Blue Apron right there in the office kitchen. And it was a little bit problematic because the smell of the food got everywhere and the security guard came up. He's like, what on God's earth? Are you cooking? Dude, like, because the security guard I was living there. He had my back.
Yeah.
In fact.
Right on.
This is a crazy true story. One time, so the building would kind of cut corners. So there's one security guard at night. Mm. Really, there should be two because if anything happens, how are you going to save
dead.
This guy? So... this guy knew when we'd go out for a cigarette break together because it's kind of like I lived in a suite And he was this employee at night that was bored.
Your doorman.
So I'd be up there. I'd be cooking food with a hot really plate and everything. And he wouldn't tell on me that I'm staying in an office. And yeah. we all
and I
agreement.
Wouldn't tell that he took
we,
naps.
Oh, would tell that he slept.
Agreement working,
working and out. It's the nap that could have caused so much trouble. So I go in and I go to use the bathroom. This time I didn't pee in a cup. I walked all the way to the bathroom. And I'm urinating and I hear the sound of water. And it sounds like a waterfall. And I'm looking down at my little hoo-ha, and I'm like, well, that's not coming out of me. It sounds like rain. But then I open the balcony door. Cricket, cricket.
Not
like,
raining.
Where the hell is this water coming from? So I'm like listening, and then I walk over to the elevator. I put my ear next to the elevator. The sound of a waterfall. I don't know if you've been in an elevator.
Oh, no.
But that's not the kind of sound you
expect.
Wait
a minute. Wait a minute. Please tell me that wasn't you.
I didn't know what it was. Like, why is there water coming from the elevator? Oh, my God. There's a fire in the building. Holy shit. So I freaked out. I was like, oh, my God. I'm like trying to call this guy. I'm like, oh, he's up there napping. Great. So I'm like, all right, what am I going to do? So I hit the elevator, and they're working. I'm like, well, that's weird. So the one that the sound's coming out of, that elevator wasn't working, but the one on the far right was. Huh. So I put a little can of whatever I had in my hand in there. I hit one, got out of the elevator, waited, let it hit the bottom floor, hit the button again, and it came back up. So I thought, okay, well, the elevator seems to be working.
The can survived.
The can survived.
Nothing changed.
It's like one of those movies where you're like,
putting it
well,
in a teleporter for the first time.
I'm going to put a flashlight into this otherworldly zone. Well, that worked. I guess we'll walk right in.
What could go wrong?
So I thought, okay, I'm gonna have to do it. My stomach was hurting. I'm like, I have no choice. I have to get out of here. The building's on fire. So I go in the elevator, go all the way to the bottom floor. Elevator opens up. I look to my right because, you know, the elevator was here. Yeah. I got in this one. So when I came out, I was here. I looked over to the right. And there was a waterfall just pouring down. Water's all getting in the lobby. I'm like, oh, my God.
Was there an inch of it? Was there 2 inches of it? Like, how was there a puddle
it
forming?
It was just kind of rising, like it was coming out. So anyway, basically what happened, I finally got a hold of the security guard, and we went floor to floor trying to find out this fire. He's like, oh, my God, I'm so glad you woke me up. Who knows what could happen? We got to the fourth floor. Smoke is coming out. I'm crazy. I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm like, it's on fire. He's like, calm down, it's steam. I'm like, it's like, that's not smoke, it's steam. Apparently a hot water valve had broken in the bathroom because these old buildings break sometimes.
God.
And water was coming out. Now, here's the thing.
So thank God it wasn't the fires. Thank God it wasn't
the fire. Thank God it wasn't. He called the fire department, everything. Had I not woke him up, the water would have damaged all of that floor. Everybody would have lost so much stuff. It would have continued for hours.
Well, good
so I told him, I was like, listen, when you talk to the building manager,
you didn't find
me. You saved the day. Nobody is living in the building. It is not up to code. It's a fire safety issue at the very least.
This is Pippi Longstocking.
You are a hero. I was never here. And he was like, okay, it's good. Thank you very much. No problem. It's good. So I come back the next
Please,
day. He's
excuse
like,
me, I've got to go back to sleep in my office.
Right, I got
to
go back, crawl in my airbed. The next day is like, yeah, the building manager is very thankful for you. What are you talking about? You told him? Oh, don't worry, it's no problem. Like, you told him it was me. You could have saved the day. I gave you a silver
Golden
platter of you get to be a hero, and you ratted me out. Thanks, Isaac. No, you don't understand. He gets it. Like, you looked after the building. You saved him. You have no more problems. You have no problems.
That's amazing.
Wow.
So from then on, while I was still there, I had no problems. The building manager just kind of had a little, how you doing? You know, as long as I called it soft steps. As long as I didn't cause no problems or nothing, he had no problem with me being there. And I had saved him so much money that I was good.
That's fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah, I never told
third high five you've given.
I've only given one today. I said high
that
five
was two.
Twice.
You said high five twice, and then you gave an actual high five.
I never said no to a high five. It's an emotional need.
We have to go. That's all the time we have, unfortunately, for this episode.
This is a lot of fun.
No, but what we will do
dude,
is we will
thank you for coming.
We will play out, you have a second Periscope video that you have that will play out the sounds of, just so that people know what is happening for some context, since it's a video giving audio context.
I found out that I could also do something called travel hacking. Not illegal. It's just, if you Google the term travel hacking, basically you pay for your flights with air miles and you pay for your hotels with hotel points. And you find ways to gather up these. And so I went to Thailand, but I didn't have any money, of course. You know, I'm broke, so I paid for the hotel with points and I paid for the flight with air miles. They called it breakfast, but I called it an all-day meal plan. I would just grab my backpack and grab the breakfast and eat that all day. And I would use the coffee maker for hot water and pour it in the noodles. So I was fine. I didn't really need money. But I went to this little zoo in Thailand and there were these tigers there. And I was talking about New York.
Thai tigers.
Oh, you're from New York. You're probably a tough guy, blah, blah, blah. He lets me in the cage with the tiger. And this is the video of me live on Periscope.
Then lucky
not even realizing that this tiger, and you'll see when
poor
his head moves,
tiger.
That this tiger, who knows, like he was like, don't worry, he's already eaten. He's very sleepy. The guy who was handling the tiger had been working with him for years. So well, that's sad. What the video
we'll
is.
Take a listen to some travel hacking. And where could people find you online?
I'm on Instagram at Timmy Daniels.
Do you have any shows?
As if you screwed up, like, Timmy Daniels, O-H, Timmy Daniels. And I do stand-up comedy all around the city.
Timmy Daniels, you are a saint and a scholar for coming out and dropping the wisdom of your hacks and amazing trajectory of life, dude. Thanks for being
man.
On Lost and Rewound.
Awesome,
and
man.
Thanks to my co-hosts, Catherine Dunn and Will Hasty.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will be back here next week for another edition of Lost and Rewound as these gentlemen beatbox us all the way out. Radio Free Brooklyn.
Radio Free.
Radio
Free Brooklyn.
We'll see y'all next week.
Did not get beatbox. Did ya?
We don't mind. Get closer. It's okay.
Yeah. Whoa, man. He's already eaten for the day, right?
Oh, I got that.
Was that a sneeze?
Already food.
Wow, good. As long as he's eating. Lion, I mean tiger. What's the difference? He is huge. How much does this thing weigh?
165 kilograms.
Wow.
How old is that?
2.5 years.
2.5 years old?
Yes.
Already this big?
Already. He's a male.
He's a male? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
All male.
Male. They like the belly rub?
I can rub his belly?
Yes.
Hey, buddy. How you doing? What's going on, man? Hey. How you doing?
Hey, fun.
Ow.
Sit on the ground. Sit on the ground. Lie down on the
hey,
tiger.
Hey, buddy. You don't mind?
You don't mind.
Hey, buddy. I'm going to take a nap.
Don't
you
mind.
Don't mind?
Don't mind.
You don't mind if I take a nap with you?
Good.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have the confidence to lay on this thing. You are one terrifying beast, buddy.